amen. Praise the Lord for the special music there tonight. Again, what a blessing it is to be able to be in church on a Wednesday night midweek. And I trust that y'all come ready to receive something from the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Ruth in chapter 2. Wednesday nights we've been looking at the life of Ruth. It's a study through the book of Ruth. When you first read it and you get into it, you might think it's more about Naomi than it is about Ruth, but God has preserved it for us as the book of Ruth. That means that she's the main character, and we need to read it with her in mind. And I think that's been a help to us as we've been able to do that, been able to learn a lot of things about Ruth and biblical principles that are the same, whether it's in her day or our day. Biblical principles that never change. Truth never changes. If it was a truth a million years ago, it'll be truth another million years from today. Amen. And so with truth and biblical principle are what we look for. Ruth chapter 2. Last week we find that now Ruth is back. She has looked to the God of Israel. And she followed Naomi back to Bethlehem. And Naomi was her connection to God. Naomi was the one that was helping her to understand more about the ways of her God, and she wanted to have her God to be Ruth's God. And so she learned about how God would provide for widows, destitute widows, poor. Both of them were poor and destitute back in the land of Israel. And so she learned that she was to glean amongst the reapers. And she would have to find a field where they would let her, a Moabite, to be able to go in and glean behind the reapers. Well, she just went out with faith and trusting God to direct her. He directed her to the field that would be the field that Boaz would own, the providence of God. We don't believe in just happen to or by chance or luck. When it comes to the lives of individuals, it's the work of God. God is in control. God knows what's taking place. He knows everything past, present, and future. And so we don't have to just think something just by chance happened or luckily we did this or that. No, it's the design of God. And so we find here that by the design of God, she finds the right field. And Boaz now learns about who she is. And Boaz is aware of being a kinsman to Ruth through Naomi. Now, Boaz is aware of that. Ruth is not aware of that. Ruth is not yet aware that the field that she went to just happened, if you will, or designed by God to be the field of Boaz, which would be her kinsman, which even at this point, I don't know that she truly understands what a kinsman would be. She's still learning. You know, when you first get saved, you come to church and you look around and you try to observe. And you wonder just, all right, what is the difference between the life of a Christian and the life of a lost person? You know, what's different coming to church? And why do we do what we do? Why do we come to church and sing praises? Why do we have special music? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? It's a learning experience. And I believe that everything that we do as a church needs to have a biblical support for doing what we do. And so she's just learning all these things. And she's just willing. She's wanting to do whatever God would have her to do. And what a tremendous spirit she would have. And Boaz took notice of that. And as Boaz took notice of that, then he speaks to Ruth. And we looked at that last week. Ruth meets Boaz and she listens to how he instructs her. Well, now if you look with me, go ahead and stand with me. We're at tonight in verse 12. Verse 12 down to verse 20 tonight, okay? So hopefully that's just a brief understanding of where we're at and what's taking place in the book of Ruth and the life of Ruth. And verse 12, Boaz is now presenting some things to Ruth, making her aware of some things that he knows to be true because he knows God. Again, he is aware that she, he was a kinsman to her and to her mother-in-law, Naomi as well. So verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, we find that now Ruth responds. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his younger men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and even was about an ephod of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, this man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, thank you for just your blessings and for the opportunity and the privilege it is to be in church tonight. And God, I just pray now for all that have assembled here, and you know what's taken place in each one of our lives. And I pray that we would put everything else out of our minds and just focus on this passage of scripture that we read tonight and allow you to speak to us and minister to us through it. I just pray that you would empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so lots taken place here. Now, she is made aware of the idea of a kinsman, and she's made aware of the Boaz, the field that she went to, by God's design, was the field that Boaz owned. Now, all of these things coming together in her mind, she is strengthening her faith in everything that she hears, everything that she's kind of putting together now, and she's realizing how God has a design for her life, how God is going to, has already blessed her, and how God is wanting to continue to bless her. These are some things that would be going through Ruth's mind right now as all this is coming together, and she's finally seeing God's design in all of it and maybe making sense out of why he took her husband and her father-in-law and all the things that have taken place. It's all starting to come together now. Now, she had faith to trust in God and to follow God's lead, but now it's even making more and more sense. The more we understand about God and his design of all things, the stronger your faith will get. And you'll be able to see things that you weren't able to see before. You'll be able to increase in your faith, and that's what we want to do. And so we find here that this Ruth is continuing to learn, and her faith is increasing, and many things has taken place in her life. And so as we look here, Boaz, what he says to Ruth is very important, because he's trying to help her to see, because of her decision to put her faith and trust in the Lord God of Israel. Now, he knew everything, what she had been through. In verse 11, he reveals that to her. He says, I know what you went through. I know that you lost your husband. I know that you followed your mother-in-law back to Israel. I know you did it by faith. You did not have money. You didn't have any kind of home. You didn't have any help. All you had was the two of you, and you trusted your mother-in-law and her desire to go back to Bethlehem because that's where she was running from. That was God's will in her life. And so you follow her back, and now you're out in the field. You've learned about gleaning, and you're wanting to work. You're not lazy. You're wanting to do all that you can do for God's blessings upon your life and your mother-in-law, Naomi. So he has revealed all that to her, and then he tells her, the Lord recompense thy work. The Lord, he says, God will bless your work. He's going to bless what you're doing, and he wants to give you a full reward. Now, I've underlined that word, that idea, full reward, because that's important for us to see, and we'll come back to that. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. A full reward of God, of the God that you've now looked to, of the God that you have trusted in, the God you put your faith in. He has a full reward. Too many, we don't get all of the reward that God has for us. We don't get all of the blessing. We don't have everything that God wants to give us. We just get a little here, maybe a little there. And we don't even realize what we're missing out on. I guarantee you, people that are not in church, they do not realize what they're missing out on. Those that do not read their Bible, they don't realize what they're missing out on. Those who do not understand prayer and how God works through prayer and answers to prayer, listen, they don't know what they're missing out on. Those that are not giving themselves over to being a witness, they don't realize the blessings of God that is bestowed upon those who turn the loss to Christ. Amen. So much in the Bible that reveals what God wants to bless us and how God wants to bless us, but we've got to meet those requirements, and we have to do what it takes in order to receive those blessings. And so many don't receive the full reward. But we find here that that Boaz knows what's taking place. He knows that he is a kinsman. He knows God has already put upon his heart. No one else knows that. Ruth does not know that, but Boaz knows that. And he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Because of her decision to put her faith and trust in the Lord God of Israel, she could receive a full reward of his blessings. That is right there. That is shouting right there. If you understand that and you understand how it applies to us today, when you get saved, then you can receive a full reward. You have salvation. You have eternal life. Praise the Lord for that. That is possibly the most important thing, but there's so much more. There's so much more. Today, can I tell you that God wants to give salvation to all people? Every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability around the world. God has a gift for every one of them. He wants everyone to have it. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to this place of repentance, because when they acknowledge their sin and they repent of their sin and they look to Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord, they can receive a gift of everlasting eternal life. God has that gift for all people, but not all people have received it because they don't know it exists. God wants to give salvation, but they must first of all desire it and, if you will, ask for it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You won't call upon the name of the Lord unless you realize you need it and you desire it. You have to be made aware of it. That's why God tells the believers, you're the light of the world. He tells the church, I've got a great commission for you. My will and one of the main purposes for your existence is to take the gospel into all the world. Because I want the world to be saved. I so love the world, all people. Jesus died for the whole world, all people. I have a gift for the whole world, all people. Amen. Yeah, but they have to learn of it. They have to desire it, and they have to ask for it. Not only does God want to give all people salvation. I think we understand that. This church, soul-winning church, understand the Great Commission. I think we understand that. God has a gift for anyone that will simply believe and receive him. But he also wants you to understand what that sets you up for. It sets you up for a full reward. If you're not saved, you can't receive a full reward. Getting saved brings you into the family of God. And as a family member, God says, you're my child. I want you to be dependent upon me. And as you look to me, I'll provide for you. As you look to me, I'll take care of you. As you look to me, I'll bless you. I'll be a father to you. If you understand the position of a father and you're his child, you're happy. You're thankful that you have a father who understands his position over you. Galatians in chapter 4. This is powerful stuff here. It really is. And now the kinsman is revealing this to Ruth, that she now is qualified, and he is praying for her to receive a full reward. Galatians in chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them. See, that's symbolic of Boaz. He's the redeemer of Ruth. He is the kinsman redeemer. That is a type of Christ. Ruth, a Moabite, was a type of the Gentile, the lost Gentile, that was not a part of God's family, that was dead. I mean, was not a Jew. She had to look to the God of Israel and want the God of Israel to become her God, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Now, what have you received with salvation? The adoption. With salvation, you have everlasting life. That's a gift. The gift of eternal life. But with that gift, you have been positioned for full reward. You have been adopted. When you got saved, you're adopted. Now you have a position where you can look to the Father and receive everything as a child of God's. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You have been given salvation, and with salvation, the Spirit of God that dwells within you now. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. You're an heir of God through Christ. God wants us to know these things. If you don't know this, you don't realize what you're missing out on. So Ruth wanted to know. She's being led by God. She's doing everything she knows to do. And because she's done that, now Boaz comes into the picture and he addresses her as her kinsman redeemer. And he tells her, God wants you to have a full reward because of your decision to put your faith and your trust in him. Everybody see that? Verse 12, powerful verse. How does she respond? Go back there with me. Now we find, that's what Boaz reveals to her. Boaz, her redeemer, now is revealing these things to her. And now she's thinking, wow, I can have a full reward. I get more. There's more. As I put my faith in God, He has more for me. He always has more for us. We just need to understand it and desire it. Verse 13, now she responds. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. Let me find favor. This is continual favor. He's already shown favor, and she's going to mention that in just a minute here. He's already shown her favor, but she's looking to him, and because of what he's already shown her, he says, I want continual favor. Ruth desired his favor continually. She would acknowledge what he had already done for her. Look what she says right here. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight. I never want to lose sight of that. I want to always be in your eyes, and I want always to receive the favor that you want to give me, for that thou hast comforted me. What you've already did, you've comforted me. And for that thou hast spoken friendly, you've been kind to me, unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. She humbles herself and says, I'm not a Jew. I'm not part of the family. I'm not one of your handmaidens here. I'm not out here. And yet you have shown favor to me, if you will, Gentile. She would acknowledge what he had already done for her. And she says, I want all that you have for me. You've already done this. Let me find favor in thy sight. That is, let me find continual favor. Do you know what the definition of grace is? Unmerited favor of God. Love and kindness of God. She says, I want to be in your grace. You've already given me so much because of your grace. I want all that you have for me. I want all the grace that you have for me. It begins with saving grace. It does. Without grace, no one's saved. Ephesians chapter 2. That's what she's telling him. And again, this is biblical principles that brings us to New Testament truth. In Ephesians in chapter 2, this favor could be replaced with the idea of, I want your grace. Unmerited, I'm not worthy of it, but I'm thankful for it, and I want all that you have for me. I want all the grace that you have for me. In Ephesians in chapter 2, and one of the very familiar passages of Scripture in chapter 2, I love that. Salvation is very clearly revealed there. But in verse 8 and 9, he says, for by grace are you saved. Without no grace, no salvation. Well, I'm going to be better than somebody else, and I can pay this, and I can do this, and I can... No, without grace, there is no salvation. By grace are you saved. That's without grace, you don't have salvation. If you don't have the unmerited favor of God, you don't have salvation. If you don't have the love and kindness of God, you don't have salvation. For by grace are you saved. Now this is what we have to do to have it, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Believe in the favor, believe in the grace of God. Call upon the Lord to be your Savior. Receive a gift which is free. No strings attached. You just have to believe and desire it and ask for it. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, you have it by grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It begins with saving grace. Look over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 and verse 24, write it down, let me read it to you. Verse 23, you know that, most soul winners quote this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all deserve the wages of sin. The wages of sin is damnation. It is total separation from God, eternal separation from God. That's the wages of sin. We're all sinners. We all deserve that because we're sinners. Being justified freely by his, what's it say right there? Grace. Justified freely. Didn't pay for it. Can't work your way to it. By his grace through Boaz, which is a representation of kinsman redeemer, which we have one redeemer, Jesus Christ, the blood shed on Calvary's cross, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's no doubt there. Amen. We have it. We have saving grace through Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. After saving grace, now we're positioned as children of God, and we have the full reward available to us. So we can start asking for serving grace. There's saving grace and there's serving grace. It's the grace that God gives to enable believers to accomplish God's will and live a consistent Christian life. Can I tell you, you can't do that without grace. Without God's favor. Without God's blessings. You can't do it. Can I tell you, there is unmerited favor, the kindness of God, for everything we face in life. We don't deserve it, but God says, now you're my child, you can have a full reward. Yep. Not only do you have grace to salvation, saving grace, you can have sustaining grace. You can have serving grace. Whatever you face, I have grace to help. This is powerful. It needs to be understood. Whatever you face, you have to be aware that God has grace that will be included in a full reward for whatever it is that we face. It's throughout the scriptures. Let me take you through just a few. If I go too fast here, write them down. But I want to start, and there's quite a few in the book of Acts, but I'm going to start in Romans chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul writes, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." To have right thinking, God can help us to have right thinking. To realize reality instead of going out in some kind of fantasy world in your mind. Amen. It's a grace of God to help us to have right thinking about ourselves and others and everything around us. Paul says, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You want to think soberly, and you're having a problem with thinking soberly, having a problem with your mind, God, give me grace to get my mind into subjection. God, give me grace that I need to have right thinking. For everything we face, whatever your battle is, Look to God for grace to help. Chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, I have a job to do. I have to go to the Gentiles, and I have to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And Paul's saying, what a task. No way I can do it on my own. But God's grace is going to enable me to be to preach the salvation to the Gentiles. You have something that you think that you know it's what God wants you to do, but you don't know how you're going to get it done. You don't know that you're even able to get it done or capable of getting it done. Look to God and say, God, I need your grace. Yes, to get this, John. Whatever you're faced with. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So I had to lay a foundation here of Jesus Christ. Paul had a high pressure position. He had a very high pressured responsibility. He wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. You say, how in the world was he able to be all that he was supposed to be to all the churches and all the people and the Jews and the Gentiles? How was he able to accomplish what he accomplished? Grace of God. And he knew it. He just kept asking every day, God, I need grace to get this done. I need grace to get that. I want a full reward. I want all the grace that you have for me. I want all the grace that you have for me. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Yeah, I worked hard. I did everything, but it wasn't my work. It wasn't my strength that accomplished what I was able to accomplish. It was only by God's grace. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8. And God is able to make, underline that, all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Every good work, whatever the work. And he's talking about there grace to give to missions. There's tithing grace. Have you prayed for that? You having a hard time? Have you prayed for tithing grace? There's grace for everything that we face as believers, because it's by the grace of God that we can live a consistent Christian life. Without acknowledging the grace of God that's needed, we will not live a consistent Christian life. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It was by grace that he was able to handle the infirmities that Paul had. Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. Powerful stuff. Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. I trust you're getting the gist of this, and this is what Naomi's now learning about. Because he told her you have a full reward. So I want continual grace. I want all the grace that you want to show me. Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Once again, we find that Paul is revealing it's the fullness. It's a full reward. It's all of the grace of God in every area of our lives. Ruth asked for continual favor. She acknowledged what he had already done for her. Oh, how we always need to be mindful of what he's done for us. Comforted me. She was made aware that somebody cares enough to let me glean in their field. Spoken friendly. That's what she said. You spoke friendly. The kindness that God shows toward us. Be thankful. But it's all right to desire more. We need to be thankful for the grace. Be thankful for salvation. Be thankful for the grace of God that's got you where you're at today, that's brought you thus far. But I want more. And it's all right to want more grace. Because from this point forward, it's going to take the grace of God for us to accomplish whatever it is that God wants us to accomplish. Whatever your situations are in life, whatever it is that you're facing right now, what you have need of is grace. Yeah. And it will be sufficient. Yeah. It will be sufficient. She humbled herself when she said, "You really don't have to do this. I'm not like the other handmaids. I'm a Moabitess. And you've shown me favor as a Moabite in the land of Israel." What she was doing was she was humbling herself at the same time praying and asking for more grace. Can I tell you, we need to pray for more grace. I love the verse in Psalms 35:13. The psalmist says, "I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned." I humbled my soul. Can I tell you, sometimes we need to do more than pray when we have need. We have to pray and fast. And if you ever prayed and fasted, humbled yourself, makes you aware of who you're praying to and what you're asking him for grace. If grace is what we need, then grace is what we ought to be praying for. Acknowledging God, he has what we need. In order for us to get it, we have to acknowledge that he has it and ask him for it. I got to close here. James chapter 4. Running out of time, so I don't want to take too much more. James chapter 4. Boaz instructs his servants to care for Ruth and provide abundantly for her, and they do, because she asked him for continual grace. Thank you for the grace you've already showed, but I want more, and he gave her more. He gave her more. He abundantly took care of her. He abundantly told his servants to watch out for her and protect her and to care for her. She looked to him for more grace, and he gave her more grace. We look to God for more grace. He'll give us more grace. James chapter 4. Got to close here. James chapter 4. Verse 1. "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" We got a lot of wars going on. A lot of times it's within us. "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and yet you have not. Because you ask not." have all kinds of things going on. You want the victory. You want to overcome it. You want the help. But you ask not. Most of the time, what you're asking, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. When you do acknowledge God, maybe you're not doing it for the right reasons. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us, it lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Underline that right there. More, not just saving grace, but serving grace. Grace to help. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Maybe we need to spend more time on our face before God, praying and even fasting, to humbling our souls and our spirits, and looking to God and crying out for grace to help with whatever this area of need is. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, because he's going to try to keep you from doing it. And he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What is I'm saying? What we're talking about here? What's Ruth doing? She's acknowledging that this man, which would be her kinsman redeemer, had already showed her grace, and she was thankful for it. But she said, even though I'm undeserving, don't stop now. I want all the grace that you have for me. Let me find favor, continual favor in your sight. Oh, that's how we look to God. That's how we cry out to God. Thankful for everything you've done. Thankful for salvation. Really thankful for everything you've done for me, but don't stop now. Don't stop now. I want all the grace that you have for me. Are we praying and asking for what we have need of? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. Powerful illustration in this story of Ruth and her kinsman redeemer. And how they're coming together and things that she's realizing. How she's learning all about the ways of God. We need to learn more about the ways of God ourselves. We need to make sure that we are praying and asking for what we need to be praying and asking for. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday night, but there's always an invitation. If God spoke to you tonight and you need to come for whatever reason, we invite you to come. If you need somebody to pray with you or take a Bible and help you, there'll be an altar worker that'll help you do that. Anyone else? Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you for this book of Ruth. And, oh Lord, as we study this biblical story, what you have preserved for us, we know that it goes far beyond just a story. It is biblical principles that align themselves with New Testament teachings of Christ and how we need all of it. And I pray that you'd help us to understand that and learn from it. Help us to apply what we've learned tonight to our lives. Be with us now as we get ready to leave. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.